Chapter 2. Stumbling into the Islamic World. Little noticed by most Americans, including in its government, a new international movement began growing during the last two decades. It does not just seek terror for its own sake. Its goal is the creation of a network of governments, imposing on their citizens a minority interpretation of Islam. Some in the movement call for the scope of their campaign to be global domination. The caliphate they seek to create would be a severe and repressive theocracy. They pursue its creation with gruesome violence and fear. To understand why that movement has chosen America as its target, and why America failed to see the effects of its own actions, we need to remind ourselves of some of the events of the last 25 years. The story, the strands of history that brought us to September 11th and to today's war on terrorism in Iraq, does not start with Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. It goes back to their two predecessors, Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush. First, Ronald Reagan. He had been obsessed with aggressively confronting the Soviet Union, not just by outspending the Red Army. By confronting Moscow in Afghanistan, inserting U.S. military into the Persian Gulf, and by strengthening Israel as a base for a southern flank against the Soviets, Reagan changed the strategic equation. I had joined the State Department in 1979 to work on the issue of the Soviet Union's growing military power, particularly its nuclear weapons facing NATO. As 1979 came to an end, however, the White House froze all nuclear arms control talks with Moscow and began to concentrate on the Persian Gulf, the Middle East, and South Asia. The 1974 Arab oil boycott of the United States had made clear to Washington the importance of Persian Gulf resources. In 1979, Iran, America's greatest ally in the Gulf, was violently overthrown by a radical Islamic group. Then, on Christmas Day, the Soviet Red Army moved south in the direction of the Persian Gulf by invading and occupying Afghanistan. After the twin shocks of the Iranian Revolution and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, our group of politico-military analysts at the State Department was given a new focus: the Persian Gulf. In the Persian Gulf, the Shah of Iran had served two useful purposes for Cold War America. First, he had guaranteed a source of oil unaffected by the Arab oil boycott. Second, he had offered to use Iran's newfound wealth to create a modern military as strong as Germany's on the Soviet Union's southern flank. Cold War America saw all foreign policy issues through the prism of the conflict between the two superpowers, much as we now see the world through the war on terrorism. The Cold War had parallels with the war on terror. Both conflicts raged globally, with regional wars, secret sleeper cells, and competing ideologies. The two struggles also threatened the horrific destruction of our cities by weapons of mass destruction. Our opponents in both vowed to seek the imposition of their form of government and their way of life on all nations.